And welcome to another episode of Knights of the Round Table. It's your boy Manny Fresh with Bobis over here to the right.
Hi.
We got Queen right here. We got B-Real over here. And an introduction to the pod, which has always been here inadvertently. We have Maddie from hashtag Maddie Moment. And oh, welcome. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm excited.
Yes.
I'm here.
I know it's a lot of energy this
time. We finally got you. Listen. We've been getting comments from people when we get to meet Maddie. To even when I was doing a YouTube live, having nothing to do with Knights at the Round Table, it was just my own little YouTube live.
Just trying to have her own moment.
And being like, hey guys, what questions do you have like about my tour and stuff coming up? And they're like, when do we get to meet Maddie on Maddie Moment, Knights at the Round Table? I was like, oh, sure. Okay. Yeah,
let's
I guess we're gonna talk about Maddie.
Yeah, you know what's crazy is when we first got together and I was telling everybody about just like how amazing she is, I was like, yo, I met this super dope girl and no one would ever see her. And they're like
she's not real.
She's not real. You're making her up. And then when I finally brought her around, people were like, oh, she is real. Like, you're not
and
a liar.
She's awesome.
You know? Yeah.
And so. Really quick, so when you first told the story of how you guys met, there was a question that I asked you, and I said, I wonder how if Maddie felt the same way, or if Maddie knew that. What was it?
It was the question. So, like, 3 days in us hanging out, out of my mouth came out
you
the
said,
words.
I love you.
I love you. And I was like, oh, my God, what did I just say? And you asked, I wonder if Maddie felt the same thing, because I claim I saw the look in her eyes, and I was like, you love me, too.
Yeah,
like,
but she didn't say it,
you
though.
You feel it, too. So,
Maddie, can you confirm or deny?
I think to an extent, yes, but I think I was still kind of guarded because I was like, I don't know what this is going to be.
Yeah.
And so in that way, I was very much like, I think he just blurted that out, but he doesn't really mean it. That's almost what I felt. But then I also was like, if he does mean it, I kind of do too, but you know.
Yeah.
that's how I felt. I was kind of like, he just said that. I don't know if he really means it. You know, he's seeing the best side of me right now. He hasn't been around
today.
And so, yeah. So that's, yes, but I was also, I didn't say it for like another month or so, I think.
No, it was shorter. It was the next trip. It was like 3 weeks later when I was back
almost
out.
Almost a month. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Okay, semantics. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, 3 weeks feels like a month.
When Brandon slid into the DMs on Snapchat. And he first sent the Drake video. Did you remember meeting him? Did you?
Oh, yeah.
What was
tell us your side of that.
I remembered meeting him. It was so in passing. It was just kind of like, hi, bye. You know, I wasn't like, oh, my God, he's a speaker at this. And, you know, that wasn't me at all. It was just kind of like, oh, he's cute. Cool. Bye. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile,
Brandon's in his bedroom like, I love Maddie. How do I talk to her?
So when he messaged me, I was kind of just like, okay, he might just be, he doesn't really know me. Again, he doesn't really know me, but this is kind of cool. Maybe we can talk back and forth. But when he said, and I loved Drake. And so when he sent that, I was like, huh. It's like, we might have some similar taste here. We'll see. And so, you know, I was like kind of rapping that song back, the same song back to him and sent it back. And
I wish I was that cool.
Yeah, it was a test too. I was like, okay, are you with it? Are you down?
It was a test.
If you haven't noticed yet, today's episode is about the one.
How would they have noticed that?
Yeah. What?
If you haven't noticed yet.
If you haven't noticed yet, we're literally talking
today
about.
Today we're talking about spaghetti. If you haven't noticed.
If you haven't noticed or seen pasta today, we're talking about.
How would they not
spaghetti.
Notice? We're literally talking about these two and how they met. So hence a perfect
segue. Maddie's
segue.
On the show. We must be talking about finding the one.
Yeah. Well, probably because they just told the story of finding the one. Jeez.
Or were they?
You guys act like I took a leap. So far, like they were talking about
it was a leap
Israel, a leap. And I was like, we're talking about the one.
Listen, babe,
it was kind of
I
a
did
that was
I
not
did,
even close
listen,
to
babe,
leap.
I did my yoga stretching earlier, you did yours right now, it's fine.
That was not even close to a leap. We'll see this when we
do
watch it back.
Do
oh, now
wine.
You want me to do the wine
now
since y'all already messed up
some.
The
what are we drinking?
I need some.
We're drinking Jay Riesling. Jay, that's it.
The sweet one. This is, again, keeping in line with our New York budget wines. Everything's $6 and under.
We haven't had a win yet.
Actually, we haven't had a win.
This one might be a little more expensive because I got it on a different rack. So this one might be like $9, so it might be good.
Okay, oof. $9. It's from the Pacific Northwest, Washington State, Columbia Valley, and it's a Riesling. We're going to tear into it. We have not had a win yet in New York with cheap wine. Yes. But let's give this one a go.
Cheers. Oh, okay. Or don't cheers. Yeah. Well, we're trying to find the one, so we didn't have time.
Hey, this one's not bad. Cheers. This one's not bad. This one's not bad.
Give me one. Give me one. Give me one. Okay.
This is not bad.
Of the three? This is the best so far.
Yeah, it tastes
like
apple juice.
For sure the best.
I like this one.
It does not taste like apple juice, but it does taste good.
I'll be honest. I just brushed my teeth, so it still tastes like the other ones.
Hey, so from the super far stretch of their love story to the one, hopefully you guys followed us. I'm so sorry I took it from love to love. Such a far stretch. So for those who didn't catch up to that, that we were talking about love, we apologize for being so confusing. And we're talking about, hey, can there be such thing as the one? Look, in Western civilization, you know, we have created this thing since Hollywood. It actually goes back to Hollywood because prior to Hollywood, there was no such thing as marriage for love or marriage for romance. It was marriage for property, marriage for status, marriage to combine families, power, control, war. Marriage was just very much a business transaction. Hollywood came into the scene and all of a sudden marriage became about romance. But for most of the world, marriage has nothing to do with romance. It has everything to do with combining families, wealth, and status. Because of that, now we think, and a lot of the world, well, no, let me stop, because it's not a lot of the world. The ways marriage is viewed here in America, you know, we tend to have this idea that our views are either the best or what should be everyone else's view as far as finding the one. And because of that, I think there's a lot of things mentally that we have now encapsulated with this idea of being the one and that we now feel are true, despite way more history of marriage being something completely different. So we wanted to talk about that because we feel like there's a lot to, you know, peel apart when it comes to the one. Because from people being in marriages that are not working well and saying, oh man, you know, it's not the one. Like, this guy wasn't the one. I married him because I got pregnant, or I married him because my parents wanted him to, or a myriad of ideas of why you're not with the one. Or you may meet someone who feels way more like the one because they know you more than the one that you're with. There's a bunch of it, and we're going to tear into all of it. Hence the reason we have Maddie here, who is going to talk and share her story about her one, or even the lack thereof of belief of the one, right?
Right. So when I'll kind of take it back to the beginning. So
take us back.
I'll take us way back. Follow along.
Throw it back.
All right. So when I was young, I was about 7, my parents got divorced, and it was the messiest of messy can be. And that's a very young age, but you're very aware of everything, you know? So it's one of those ages where whatever happens, you're going to remember every single bit of it, and it's going to come along with you, you know? And so when my parents got divorced, a lot of what I heard from my mom was kind of like, you need to kind of fend for your own, make sure you're independent, you don't need anybody. I want you to know that, and have your career set. And there was never an image of what a marriage could be or what genuine love is between two people.
Right.
And so kind of as I was getting older, I never really, and I feel like it's a different mindset for young girls. For me, I never really had a dream wedding. I was never planning to get married. That was never something I really put in the cards for myself, which I feel like is really different because I feel like most young girls are kind of picturing that, and I never did. Honestly, my kind of dream for myself was for me to go off and have this great career in fashion or entertainment and then, you know, adopt a kid. I've always wanted to have kids and just kind of live life like that. And so...
Very Sandra Bullock. Right?
Wow.
I don't know, because I was like, oh, I still want to have kids, so... I don't know. So I guess that was my plan, really, until, which I was young, obviously, when me and Brandon met. I think he kind of told you I was 20, 21.
Yeah.
So whenever Brandon came into my life, which we kind of talked about how we met, and so when we were starting to date and fall in love in our 3-day span of falling in love, apparently, my eyes were opened. For me, I feel like God used that because I had never believed in that. He was using it to show, hey, this is what could be. If you want to take that step, it's here. If not, of course, I'll still bless you and everything will be great, but this is what you could have, and this is an example of what love could be for you. And so I feel like that's really God used that as a huge, huge moment in my life to show, hey, someone can treat you well. Someone can really want, really dream with you and want amazing things for your life, treat you well, support you still being independent, you know, and all of those aspects, which I never thought was possible. So, but kind of following along with that, I never thought there was a one. I never thought there was a soulmate for me. And really in general, I guess for anyone, I was kind of like, when people would tell me, oh, I found the one, I found my soulmate, I was kind of in the back of my mind like laughing, like, okay, we'll see how long this lasts, you know?
Do you think it's because of what happened with your parents or just?
Yes, but then also I think I just had, well, to me, it was like kind of like, oh, you're not in reality. That's what I felt like. You're not in reality. Mm. That's just, that's in the movies. That's not real. Because, and not just my parents, you know, there'd been a ton of marriages around me. Like my grandparents broke up within the few years. So all of these, you know, marriages around me weren't
together
anymore.
That was real life.
Yeah.
Like
that's what I felt was
reality.
Exactly. That's what I felt was real life. And so when everybody would say, oh, I found the one, I found my soulmate, yada, yada, yada. I was just kind of like, okay, we'll see. We'll see how long this lasts, you know, love you, but I wasn't going to be like, oh, that's, you know, you're not living in reality. I respected whatever they thought they were feeling because feelings are real in that moment. And so I respected that. But in the back of my mind, I was just kind of like, you're going to find out. That's not really the case. So,
right. On the adverse, now being married to be for, you guys are going on 2 years, right?
We're coming on three.
Three?
Yeah.
Going on three, do you still hold the same value? I mean, because if you didn't, it still wouldn't matter because you've, like, we'll get into this. You've chosen the one that you're going to be with. But what about the actual ideology of the one?
Yeah, I still don't believe there is a one or a soulmate singular, I guess. For me, I think I found what love is, and I've also seen it in other marriages and other just relationships, period, where I'm like, okay, this is a real deep connection. We'll go into it about choosing, but it's a real deep connection, and you can feel that spark and that really deep emotion and feeling of, hey, I know Brandon sees into the deepest part of me, right. You know, and he loves all of that, the good, the bad, the ugly. And so in that way, I'm like, okay, there is a person that can see you like that. But I also believe that there's multiple people that.
Sure. Because if the ideology that, there is a one, then that means on the adverse side of that is everyone that comes after that one is just, the other one
plan B,
not the best, step down, downgrade. But what happens, which a lot of people have probably gone through this, in the case of a divorce where it wasn't your choice, or in the case of a death, again, not your choice, does it really mean, if we're going to stick to this idea that there's such thing as a one, then does it mean that whoever comes after that quote-unquote one is a secondary plan for your life or just something that's less than quote-unquote perfect? You know what I'm saying? Right. I know in the church world, we've kind of done this whole magnify this idea, because not only does Hollywood, you know, romance the idea of the one, but then you add God on top of that and the whole famous, hey, what's up, girl? The Lord told me that you're my wife.
Dude, your pickup line voice is so creepy.
Hey, I got a van outside.
Hey, I got a van.
Run away.
But,
some candy.
And it says that it's a purity culture, right?
Beats,
like, you know, Ring by spring. That's what my motto was.
In Bridal college.
In the Bridal college.
Yeah. But I even just think about if there truly was just the one for you. You know how much pressure that is
Yo,
on
how
you?
Terrifying.
There is
nothing can happen. What if they get hit by a bus?
At this moment of this recording, there is over 7.6 billion people alive on planet Earth today. So you mean to tell me that there is that one person for you? Where is that person in the world? Like, at what point are your paths going to cross? Like, you realize, like, how much has to happen. Like, your spouse could be in some distant village in the middle of Djibouti.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, who knows where it is?
Yeah.
And what happens if something happens to them? Going back to what you were just saying, to me, I just remember growing up having so much, especially growing up in the church, and there's always this, like, you got to find the one, you got to find the one. And the question was, one, how do I find the one?
Yeah.
But then, two, like, every day is kind of like, is today the day that are like, you know, like, I don't want to miss it. What if I miss it? Then, like, I'm going to miss out on all the amazing things that I have for my life, because so much of your purpose and your calling, and Elise could speak on this too, is wrapped into this concept of when you find the one, I can finally move forward. So it's like, I can't move forward until that one appears in my life by God knows how, you know?
Yeah, it's... I grew up almost thinking that finding my husband was the missing key to my calling. Like, he was the passcode that would unlock the iPhone with my mission should I choose to accept it, in a sense. And if I didn't find him, well, then I'm screwed. Like, because a woman couldn't be in ministry by herself. Good Lord, that's blasphemy. But I think that I still remember so much pressure, and I would be at conferences as a little girl, Hillsong conference, like traveling with my dad and scanning a room trying to find, is that my husband? Is that the one? Is that him? Not from a desperation to be married, even though that's always been a desire of my heart. I didn't want to disappoint God. Like, I was like, what if I find the wrong one? And I honestly think so much of that pressure and so much what I put on myself, you know what they say, like what you fear can manifest and that kind of thing. I honestly think I went into my marriage with part of that psyche that I never still worked through of, I have to find the one in order to unlock God's plans for my life. As if God and whoever the one husband is was sitting up in heaven before I was born, like, all right, so here's how we're going to do it. Like, what the heck? It's so messed up. And I still remember my youth leader when I was like 15, Carla Murray. Still remember. I love her so much.
Anyway, wait, her name is
Calamari?
Yes, I know. There was a whole thing. Carla Murray.
Oh.
Okay, that's Australian. Calamari.
A collective O.
Anyone that's like listening that was
my eyes perked up thinking about the salt and pepper shrimp we had last night, and I go, "Oh my god, that was so
calamari."
Good,
she sounds nice.
She sounds delicious. So, I'll be honest.
She sounds delicious. I remember her, right, taking me to Cronulla Beach in Australia, our local beach. We were walking along, and there was this guy who freaking lived in Russia, of all places, that was a pastor's kid that I was like, I'm going to marry him. She took me for a walk, and she was like, Elise, you don't need a husband to do what God has called you to do. And I burst into tears. And I was almost mad at her because it was so far from what I had believed. We'll do a second part of the lies the church sold us. But in a sense, that would be one of them, because I was angry. I was like, she's speaking blasphemy. And now, and her and I are like still good friends and we still keep up. She's married with kids now. But she was the only one to ever say that to me when I was in youth ministry.
Wow.
To specifically say, Elise, you don't need that. And the more you keep looking for that in a man or the one, the more you're missing out on what God has for you. And so now being on this side of life, this side of the world, this side of a divorce, I'm now finally realizing you go into a marriage, and I went into my marriage choosing the one, but the one has to choose you back in a sense. And if you don't choose each other every day, then that, like, there's no way. It's almost like we take the responsibility of ourselves out of it when we say there's the one. Like, I don't have to take responsibility for choosing you, for valuing you, for making sure you know that when I choose you, I'm getting rid of all the other plan Bs. Instead, we're like, if we, like, it gets hard, we're like, oh, well, they must not be the one. And we leave. And that just takes out all responsibility of a person and our role in it.
No, agreed. I mean, I definitely feel like, man, there's so many ways you can even take that, especially when you said, what if the person doesn't choose you back? And that's a tough scenario to be in, because In the church, we're super afraid of the word divorce. And it's something that we don't really like to, there's no way out. You basically, and I know there's people here listening because I get those messages. And I know Bobis was talking about it earlier. There's people message all the time looking for a way out. And look, I don't want to say that you shouldn't get out or you should stay. Like whenever somebody, you know, emails us and asks, you know, this is a situation I'm in and I feel trapped or I feel suffocated or I feel whatever. But we have been told that divorce is wrong and it's this and that, but their life is absolutely falling apart because the other person is not choosing them back, which is the scenario that you came out of. Like, what else could you do? At what point do you just accept that somebody doesn't want you and that they are not the one?
Well, and then that goes into kind of, Ange and I were talking about this before, but on that, I get so many Instagram messages and so many emails from people hearing my story with the word divorce in it. And it's like, they've breathed a breath of fresh air because we didn't call it a separation or a breakup, or we use other sanitized terms. Not that divorce is an unsanitary, like, word, but somehow it feels like that still a little bit. Not in all churches. My church has actually been incredible with it, but I understand the stigma. So I have so many women and a few men have written in about their marriages, almost wanting permission to leave, permission to have a divorce, permission to, and it's heartbreaking because it's like, this was my story. I don't know this person's full story. I don't know what's happening. I don't know both sides in the story. I only know, and they don't know my story. A lot of people, whether it's positive or negative comments that they write, you don't know my story. Like, you don't know what actually happened in my marriage to lead to that point. But it's a tough situation and a heartbreaking situation, no matter which way you look at it. And we have to be better at talking about it. I can only speak from my context of church, because 50% of people sitting in your congregation have gone through a divorce. And like Maddie was saying, how many more have experienced that, whether through their parents or their kids or their brothers or sisters? Everyone has been affected by divorce. And so this topic is so important. But Ange was saying before, what happens when you marry someone and they were the one in the sense, and then you grow and evolve and change, hopefully, as all humans should.
So many messages about that.
So what do you...
Well, I feel like, first of all, putting the pressure of... There is the one, that's exactly what it is pressure. It's added pressure that we don't need, especially when you're dating. Like, it's hard enough. Like, you're navigating your own emotions. Like, what do I think their emotions are towards me and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like when you take off the pressure of there is a one person for you, when you take that pressure off, it liberates you to actually be led by the spirit, be led by your instincts, your intuition, be led by your heart, even though we're taught in church sometimes, like, not to trust your heart, it's deceiving. But really, like, your heart is your emotions, which are connected to God, and it's your lifeline to God. So when you take the pressure off of there's a one, it liberates you to freely feel, communicate, and be led by God in finding a good match for you that you can fall in love with and grow with and be with. And that's not to be an excuse to just go willy-nilly and just like hook up with everybody, because there's not the one. Like, if that's what you want to do, go do you. There's repercussions to it, because that's what happens, STDs and unwanted pregnancies and all that kind of stuff. So if that's what you do, that's what you do. But I'm not saying there's not the one, so just go live your best life, queen. Yeah,
it's not value everyone, therefore value no one.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. So within that, to what you were saying, there's growth in people. When Manny and I met, there was certain things about him that I was like, oh my God, I love this. We're on the same page about this. Like, yes, 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 yes. And then now
way
here
more
we,
yeses. There's like, yes, yes, yes.
Way
yes,
more
yes,
yeses.
Yes, yes. Damn, yes. Yes. Okay,
like,
yes.
Today.
It was
more like, yes.
So many yeses. This nigga got it all.
Yeah. You say that? Wow.
And there was like a couple of no's at the end.
And then I said a couple,
I don't know,
I guess. But so if, all that to say, if Manny was the same person he was the day I met him, And I am who I am today because I have evolved and grown to this place over here. If he was the same person he was when I met him, I don't think we would get together again. Like if I met him again today, I wouldn't be attracted to those same things. They would almost be like red flags for me because I have grown and evolved. And in our relationship, I started growing and evolving in this direction before he did in different timing. And I'm not saying I got better or like one day you guys will evolve to the good place where I'm at. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I evolved to a new place.
Yeah.
Not a better place. I evolved to a new place, but Manny was still in the same place. And so in that, it was a little hard for us because we're like, oh, we're not the same people we were. And do we believe different things now? Like, what is this? And I could have dipped out, but why would I do that? I chose Manny for more than just our belief system. Mm. I chose him for his character, for his heart, for his hot face, for,
I was waiting for it.
Like all of those
Damn.
Things.
I gotta get my body up.
You're getting there right now. You're getting there.
You're the same person as
y'all. My boo, let me tell you, he been working out. He been working out, y'all. Okay. But so anyways, what I was saying is just that time you also started growing and evolving to a new place yourself.
And was it a different new place to what you were at?
I would say we were both like, it's kind of hard to explain. Like I'm going like 3 steps up and then he took 6 steps up and then I took 2 steps
like a cha-cha.
Up and then, you know what I mean? And we're just like growing on different levels, but in the same direction. No. Growing on different levels, but in the same direction. And
so, do you think that if I didn't grow and if I was still the same dude, you really think that we'd still be?
I think it would be really hard, and I think because
I wouldn't
believe
in anything. Yeah,
it
would be.
Yeah, we would have. We wouldn't have this podcast. We wouldn't have the same circle of friends. We would be like roommates, kind of
two different
lives.
Because
we would be living two extremely different lives. You would have your circle of friends and I would have mine, and
wow,
we could make it work. And I think eventually we'd get to a point where we're like, hey, neither one of us, you're not coming to where I'm at, I'm not going to where you're at, do we still want to do this? Because this isn't healthy, this isn't fun, this is like we're just roommates, might as well go be with somebody who's on your page. Like we would have to have that conversation, which brings it back to, were we the one for each other or were we just choosing each other and now we choose differently?
Yeah, no, I think I am of the belief that there's for sure more than one person for you. I think my last 3 girlfriends before you could have been the one. They weren't.
That would have been sad for you.
I know, it would have been sad. No, that, I don't want to diss them like that, but it wouldn't have been as awesome. That's what I could say, yeah. Because they're not, it's not like whoever got them was a step down from what
no,
we have.
No, but I'm just saying.
For me particularly.
I know, but then you got Angela. So.
But I know me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I kind of speak with some authority on this one.
Yeah, it would have been a very different life. No, but what I'm saying is that they were amazing people, like legit amazing people. I'm still a fan of to this day. Great people, but totally could have ended up with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it is a choice. And I don't even know. I'm trying to think. I'm like, when we got together, what did I feel the one thing? I don't think I felt any of that. I think the one thing that I did feel was I didn't see an end. Usually in all relationships, this is one of the Manny-isms. I believe that usually in every relationship that you get into, you can tell whether the person is going to be for you or not in the first 3 dates. You'll either ignore the red flags and make excuses for
and
them.
Sheesh, that's good.
Or you'll be honest and accept, oh, this is how it's going to break up.
Wow.
1,000%. You will know. I've known every time. I'm like, oh, this is how we're going to break up. This person's too insecure. Or this person is very judgmental. We're going to break up. Or this person does not believe what I believe. We're going to break up. This is how it's going to break. But I can love them. I'll change them. My love will change them. Whatever will change them. But it just doesn't. It never works. So with Ange, I didn't get the one feeling. I just didn't see the end in this one. I didn't see, oh, this is how we're going to break up. It wasn't like, I didn't see us breaking up. And that's when I knew. I was like, oh, snaps. This could be the one I'm going to marry. And usually it takes me like a year to even call somebody my girlfriend. But we were married within 9 months, which was very weird because like Bobice, I would always go into places and be scanning the room for the one. And I'm touring nonstop. So there's
so much scanning.
I was like always looking for people, even to the point where after we got married, I was still scanning.
Not to look for someone out of habit.
Yeah, out of habit.
You had to break the habit.
It was like I would still go into places, and we would laugh about it. I'd be like, yo, babe, I totally was scanning the whole room today for my wife. And then I was like, oh, crap, I'm married. But she did the same thing.
Oh, wait, what's this on my finger? Oh, yeah.
She did the same thing.
I would, because his scanning would be at his concerts, because it was Christian concerts, so it was filled with Christian women. Mm-hmm. My scans were at the airport, because I lived my life in the airport. Yeah. So I would be, like, walking through, and it was so dreamy to me, because it's like, oh, this guy could be on his way to New York, and I'm on my way to Seattle, and we cross paths, and we wink, or whatever. Like, oh, my God, what if he sits next to me? Like, oh, like, it would be so exciting to see, like, okay, who's gonna be the one sitting next to me? And then
did that
like
ever happen to you before
old
you
business
got married?
Dude, and you're like, oh, never mind.
Did you ever have a story like that before you were married?
No.
Oh, okay.
Wait, hold on.
I don't know. I would have to think about that.
Yeah, I want to know.
I would have to think about that.
Let people and know. I used to be real flirty, like real good at flirting. I had some good flirts, y'all. But then let me tell you.
Then she found the one.
No, this is a whole different episode about being conservative and purity.
We'll talk about that in sex part two.
Yeah, yeah, we're doing it.
But I used to be like real flirty, and I would talk to like all these dudes and whatever, and I would like to make connections. And this is when we were talking about on a previous episode where I said I've dated a lot of ugly guys, y'all.
Oh yeah,
because if I vibed with them, I would entertain the thought. I'd be like,
I get
oh, okay.
it. I get that.
I mean, you're not too cute in the face, but that was funny.
Yeah, chemistry is a huge
let's
thing.
Let's go get a drink. Let's go get coffee, whatever. You know what I mean?
So then when it comes down to it, which everybody can speak on this, is the one based on anything romantic or emotional? Or is it solely based on a decision, which is the most unromantic thing that you can think of?
Okay. I would argue it's not either or. It's both.
Same.
Because I think that feeling and that emotion that's a part of... I'm thankful we're on the same page.
I know. I was like, imagine if Maddie was like, I just...
Maddie was like, absolutely
no,
not.
I'm choosing this. This has nothing to do with feelings at all. I don't even like him.
Because I felt the... Obviously, the chemistry between us both when we first started dating...
Was strong.
Was strong. And so I was like, well, that's good. But the thing that I needed to see in her was not necessarily, and even just the whole way that I approached us dating was different than any other relationship I had before Maddie. All the other ones were almost so spiritual that I've removed myself from the actual decision making.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which is sometimes some people use the whole spirituality of are they getting random people coming up to them at their church and saying, God has called you two together.
Oh, Lord.
And it's like you've completely removed you, because not only does like God doesn't operate like us, we're robots. It's not like do this and you're like, okay, I will do it, Lord. Like, He's really like partnering with us.
Yeah.
So he values our decision.
Yeah.
That's why love is a choice. He's not going to force anyone to love him, because forced love is not love.
Mm-hmm.
That's control. That's manipulation. That's the exact opposite. You're now basing it out of fear.
Preach on it.
So us, I was like, all right, Lord, I'm a powerful person and I make powerful choices. And that's why love is so powerful, because it is the choice in the midst of options. Right, I joke around and say, you know, there's like a hundred women I could have married, but instead I chose Maddie. So the reason that is powerful is because I had options.
I got options.
And it's the same thing for Maddie. You know, like there's all these people. So it's two powerful people coming together who are choosing to be in that.
I love that.
But again, I feel like the love and the feeling, you got to be attracted. Like that's part of the package. And we love to say, oh, I don't care how they look. You lying. We know you care how they look, you know?
But at the same time,
that's not the
attraction, looks, all that crap. It's, I feel, at least just from being married 8 years now, all that crap, like, eventually it just becomes normal. And not in a bad way. I don't want to say that. It's not like people become ugly.
No, it's just familiarity.
That, honestly, once you see the same, you know, face every day, or when you see the same boobs and butt every day, But not only is no longer in a nice pair of jeans or a nice bra, it's, you know, taking a crap in the
in
morning.
Your period jeans.
Or, you know, hey, babe, can you get me a tampon, please? Yeah, babe, I'm right there. You know, like, yeah. Weird crap like that. It's like the romance and the sexy is gone
just
after
calling
that.
Calling Angela out completely.
No, I'm just saying. It's the same thing with us. I'm saying, yeah. Attraction is cool at the beginning, but. It never lasts. What ends up taking its place is actual intimacy, which comes from building a life. At least that's just my opinionation.
It's a good opinionation. Maddie.
Yes,
does Maddie agree with you,
babe? I think I was going to say with us, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, pray to God. What does he say about this? Is, you know, if they're like, is this the one? Are you praying about it? You know, he'll tell you. And I always kind of laugh at that internally. I'm just like, okay, whatever. With us, I'm in tune with emotion and especially other people's emotion. But also I am
very logical.
I'm very logical, very mm-hmm. logical. And so when I was looking at this, I was kind of like, okay, this is all on me. Regardless, I knew we were going to change. I'd seen it. I know you grow and evolve, and especially with us being so young, oh my goodness, yeah. We're just going to, who knows who we're going to be. Like, we're already so different than we first got together.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, am I going to put in the work? Am I really going to do this? Because it's going to be work, and not work in a sense of, oh, this isn't fun. Like, gosh, you know, people always, I hated that when people would come up to you and just be like, you know, they'd look at you and be like, oh, you're so in love. Just wait.
Just you wait. Yeah.
Just wait. And I'm kind of like, oh, my God. Like, how awful.
Shut up.
To look at marriage that way. I was just, I swore to myself, I was like, I'm never going to be that way. I understand, though, being in it, I understand what they mean. They're just not explaining it the right way. But I would just had to make a choice. I was like, okay, am I going to put in the work? When we're changing, we're evolving, we're different people, am I going to put in the work to love him through all of it, to give him space and time, and for him to give me space and time, praying that he will? Is he going to do that? You know, because divorce was the scariest thing ever since I'd seen it firsthand. That was terrifying just because I know how awful it can be. And so I was like, okay, if I'm in this, I'm in it, and I'm hoping that he is going to put in the work and love me through all of my change, because I'm going to have plenty of it. So I think that's kind of where I was, is very logical. I'm like, okay, I'm making a choice. This is huge, but I'm choosing to work through all of this. And yeah, there's plenty of people I could have done it with, but I do. The other part I want to talk about, though, is because a lot of people say, oh, it's destiny. And you know, you met in whatever. The way that it was set up for us, I think, yo, it was God, but also he could have put several other, you know, men in my life, and we could have had the same setup. It was easy for us in our dating. Like, we were, I won't always say lucky, but it was set up the right way. We were lucky or blessed or whatever you want to call it, to be able to see each other every month and to even be at the same conference and da 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 da. But there's plenty of people that could have been with. It just happened to be our connection first, and nothing got in the way of that because we chose not to let anything get in the way of that.
And I mean, here's the crazy thing. Like, you really could, at the end of the day, like Brandon was saying, it comes down to a choice, and your path, your life could have taken, you know, a myriad of directions. And I don't, you're not in it now, so you don't know if that was a better one, or this was a better one, or this was a better one.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you do make that choice, and then that life becomes your better. Even though within this life, like you said, there's so much growth that's going to happen. And I know in our last, we went to our marriage retreat, and one thing that we learned is that, you know, it's crazy to believe that you're going to marry someone and say you're going to do your entire life with them, and then expect that person not to literally be probably the opposite or a completely different person than what you have married. Like, that will happen, because you are a human being. And if there is no room for that to happen, or at least an openness of your heart to let that person grow into whatever. And this is mentally, emotionally, physically, obviously, sexually. Like we're mammals. And that evolution of who we are changes. And if that idea scares you, if all of a sudden you're like, oh, my husband's much more this now, or now he thinks this, or my wife now she thinks this. Oh, they're not who I fell in love with. I'm out. You're not the person. Like, what expectation do you really have to have? Do you really want, say you did get, you got married at, how old were you?
She was
21.
21.
21 when we
what if
married.
She did stay the same person as she was at 21? Brandon will be 55 with a 21-year-old who she's just like, Brandon, how do you balance a checkbook?
I don't think Maddie was ever that.
I was never. I'm just that saying. Way, but, okay. How many people are that? Like mentally, emotionally, the amount of depth that she's gonna incur or grow, and the more situations you find yourself in front of, you can come to a place where now you're changing, now you're evolving, now because you're going either through hard times or good times. You're like, oh crap, I didn't know I liked this. Oh wow, I didn't know I liked this. I didn't know, you know, this was in me and I've been suppressing it for so long, but this is really how I feel. This is really, there are so many marriages that when I tell them how honest I am with Ange, they're so freaked out by it because they're like, you what? You tell your wife everything? You're supposed to just tell your boys that. And I'm like, who said that? Like, are you telling me my boys are supposed to be literally more intimate than my wife? So I should hide all this like real scary stuff or all this stuff that's like really in me and just leave it for my boys and suppress it so that she doesn't get to know all of me? Or should I just come bear it all because the one person who said they wanted to know me for me, I'm scared that she's not going to like those parts of me. And then if you think that, if you are in a relationship like that where you feel there's always this small amount of you that you cannot tell her or him, then it's easy to segue from that to eventually this person, he doesn't know me.
Yeah.
And he's not the one.
Wow.
I don't feel comfortable or trusting to tell him everything. But I do with this random ass dude that's a stranger. Why am I all of a sudden opening up to this person? And that's a real part. We could talk about that.
Yeah.
Loving more than one person.
Yeah, that we could probably talk about on like Sex Part 2 or something like that. But I think I'm sitting here and I'm listening to it and it's an interesting dialogue going on in my head. I just went to like tell Ange and realized that we were like recording. So I was like, oh, wait.
And you can't whisper because I have headphones on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, never mind. But I'm sitting here and I'm like, man, like I thought he was the one, my ex-husband. And I know because the reason, sorry, I'm currently processing, everything's fine. But you guys, as soon as you guys got married, Maddie and Brandon, you guys went through a transformation almost immediately from moving to California. You guys got married about 6 months before us, or maybe a couple months before us.
Yeah, it was a couple months because ours was December 29th, 2016.
Ours was January.
Yeah. It was like not even a month.
That's right. So it was like that was the whole thing. And I'm sitting here and I'm kind of sad because I'm like, man, like I saw him changing before my eyes in a sense. I was changing too. You guys were very much a part of that. But there wasn't that openness in the journey. And I almost feel like that's maybe we're unlocking how do you keep, when you choose the one, how do you keep that? So much I think of is going on the journey together. Even if like Angela said, you're up 6 steps and they're just at 3, that at least you're talking while you're in the staircase.
Mm.
Like at least the communication. I think that's the thing that made me the saddest was that I was seeing him change before my eyes and he was getting different friends and was going out and I wasn't allowed to be a part of it. And I wonder if it would have been different if he'd let me be a part of the transformation. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the scary part is that I don't think it would have been different. Because what he would have let you in on was the fact that he wasn't here for you.
Mm.
He can't let you in on a part that he legitimately didn't want you to be a part of. It's different. There's parts that we wish we can tell our significant others, but we're scared to because we're afraid they're not going to accept us. Then there's parts we don't want to tell our significant others because we're like, that part doesn't belong. They don't belong in that part, and I don't want them in that part.
Like, that's not a transformation of me. That's like something I know I shouldn't be doing. Is that what you mean?
No. It's like legitimately, if I'm him and I'm thinking, man, I don't want to tell Elise this side of me. Why? Because this side of me doesn't involve her, and I like that it doesn't involve her. I don't want her in this part of me. I want to be over here without her. So why would I let you in on it? Then there's, man, I wish I could tell Elise this part of me. I'm so scared to tell her because I think she's not going to like me anymore. She's going to run away. But I feel these things, and they're scary, and they're weird. And I really want to tell her because I want her to freaking be in on this with me. But I'm not because I'm scared she's going to leave me. Mm-hmm. Those are two very different people.
With your specific situation, I feel like it's different just because we know to the full extent of it. Sure. So, but I want to also kind of agree with you because I feel like I can only talk about ours. I'm just going to specifically for him was going through deconstruction.
Yeah.
I was over here with some things I had already kind of had progressive views on, but kind of needed him to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was going on through a really deep journey and researching and da da da.
And y'all had just gotten married.
And yes, yeah, this is brand new.
Right now. Wow.
And so
I'm thinking about
and
that.
No, I think you know the specific conversation I'm thinking about. And yeah, and so we were going through all of this. Thankfully, he felt comfortable enough with me to let me in on it. But I remember him coming to me in the living room, and he just was bawling, crying, and it makes me cry thinking about it. And he was going through all of this deconstruction, and he was like, I'm so terrified. I'm letting you in on this, but I'm so terrified because I know that we are far. This is really far from where we started, and I'm already completely different, and I'm letting you in on this, but I'm so terrified that what if we get to the end of this and you're not with me. Like, you don't believe this with me. And what if I'm taking you on this journey and it's not a good one, you know? And so, but I believe because we let each other in on that and because it was this open dialogue, thank God, it could have not been, but it was. And because of that, I feel like we grew so, 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 so incredibly close and have this just super deep, 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 yeah. deep trust that he could really tell me anything. And I mean, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here. It wouldn't even matter. It could be the craziest thing ever. And so I think because of that, it was a choice to let me in on that. He didn't have to. But I mean, that would have been awful. And we would have been in a very different place than we were now. But it is an act of choice, and it's hard. I mean, it is very hard. But that's also vulnerability. I mean, it's hard, and you are welcoming to be hurt. And
BB's over here.
That's crazy because we went through the same thing when Ange started. I think she started her deconstruction before I did. There was things that I felt already because of going through the industry that I went through, and I realized, oh man, this Christian industry is not what it was meant up to be. So I was forced to like deconstruct certain things. But then there was a lot of things that Ange held dear to her that she was deconstructing. And I remember the conversation we had. We were in the shower, and she was talking about, I don't know if I believe all these things. Like, I don't have full faith in the Bible. I don't, you know, it's been the influences behind it, what it could have really, why it was really written, and all these other things that was questioning. And the old religious part of me was very combative and very, mm-hmm. like, angry, because I was like, well, then what do we believe? Like, if you ain't standing on something that I'm completely standing on, then this is going to get ugly real quick.
Also, your 8 personality. I was going to say that as well.
And when she says, you know, because it even got to the point where she was like, you know, let's pray. And I was like, to who? Whoa. Like, if we don't believe the same Bible, then who you want me to pray to? And I wasn't being an asshole when I said it.
I received it as him being a total asshole. Yeah.
I would have received it the same way, just so you know.
No, well, because...
Especially because, like, I'm in this vulnerable place of, like, deconstructing and wrestling, and I'm saying, like, I don't know, whatever, but of course I still have these things that I've built my foundation and life on, like prayer. So I would be, like, torn in this wrestling. I'd be like, babe, let's pray. Why? You don't even know what you believe. And
that's
I'd be like,
that's not how I said it, though.
It was 100% that way. It was 100% that way. And I'd be
I said it like you're an idiot. Because the way you just came off right now, it sounded like I called you an idiot.
Okay, Manny,
you
this
said
goes
it very
back to...
peaceful and gently.
No, Manny.
Like
no, stop.
It was very gentle.
Manny, this goes back to you being an A. And remember how you like can be aggressive and we don't realize that you're being aggressive. And it's just you're passionate.
So sometimes even with questions, it can come off as if like,
No, I understand that completely. Okay, good. Great. But
fine.
Okay, say it how you said it.
I remember, this is the crazy part, because I love my wife. I remember these conversations like they were yesterday.
Show us differently. Right.
It's not differently.
Show everyone how you said it.
I'm going to tell you what the conversation went
I'll
like.
I'll say it.
I will tell you the conversation.
I'll say pray for me. Let's play our parts.
Wait, such an emotional judging.
No, baby.
Call action.
All right,
baby.
All right, ready? Ready?
I'm pouring myself some more.
Action.
Water. Queen.
Oh, no, I start. call action again. Sorry.
Action.
Babe. Can you pray for me?
Wait, are you telling me that's how you did it?
Yeah. And then you said...
So you just start in the middle of the conversation?
Yeah, your apartment.
You didn't start at the beginning?
We're mid-scene.
Babe, we're lying in bed.
That wasn't when the conversation was. Selective memory much. Ready?
No. We were in the shower. Over,
this
I'm
is
like,
where my memory...
Screw him.
This is where, no. This is where my memory... This is why I would be a lawyer.
This is why you're better than
this is facts. No. We were in the shower. And I would love for you to deny this. We were in the shower. And this is not like I'm trying to diss you, but this was the real conversation. We were in the shower and you were listening to a lot of books. I mean, listening to a lot of audiobooks. You were reading a lot of books and you were questioning the Bible and how it was written. You were questioning the validity of it. You were saying, hey, man, this parts of the Bible I don't believe are true. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they're true. Mm-hmm. And this is why. And then my statement was, well, babe, if this part of the Bible isn't true, then there's other parts of the Bible that could possibly be not true. Yeah? Yes, correct. And then you brought up Jesus, the same thing. You're like, man, so there's a lot of faulty or possibilities that these things aren't true. These stories that we talked about Jesus, and a lot of it dealt with topics that were very important to you, like homosexuality, like, you know, everybody going to heaven or not going to heaven. You didn't like mm-hmm. the idea. And again, yes. I commend you for this because your heart was very deep and passionate for people. And that's why I loved you for it, because you're like, I don't understand how people can go to hell from a loving God. It doesn't make sense just because they're different or just because they love someone different or because they whatever. So right now in that conversation, we have literally touched on whether homosexuality was legit bad or was people really going to hell or was this Bible even, is it real? Are all of the parts real and true? These are all real conversations. Yeah. Okay. That was the preface. Before you asking me.
And then later that night.
Okay. Yes. And then,
that's
okay.
That's where I was getting to.
Okay. But think about this. Everybody has just heard this conversation. Okay. So if someone is telling you, and no, you can be honest. If somebody is telling you that they no longer have a full trust in these things mm-hmm. and they're questioning mm-hmm. all these things, mm-hmm. I did not say, who do we pray to as an asshole? I didn't say, well, who do we pray to? That's not how I said it. I was legitimately, and I told her this in that moment, you literally have just crushed my entire history of life and theology. Because I didn't have these questions.
Okay.
So I'm on the side of someone who's like, I've built my whole life on these things, right? So this person just literally questioned all the things that I built my life on.
So for someone who has just been... all they built their lives on was just questioned. Mm-hmm. You try and tell me you didn't have not one ounce of defensiveness when you said,
I didn't feel defensiveness. I felt fear.
Okay, well, your fear came off as asshole-ish. But now we know it was not that. It was fear. Thank you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Can we all agree on that one?
All agreed.
But you don't agree.
I don't care.
It's about the way you receive.
No, I go ahead. Go ahead, Elise.
Oh, no, thank you.
No. But no, like,
we're going to hear it later. I'm going to hear it later. I'm going to hear it later.
That definitely, like, I could only say, I'd have probably come off as an asshole if I was in that situation. Manny, you're actually a better dude than me, legitimately. But, like, I just think, like, if I would, not only would I come out of fear because I'm scared, I mean, actually, Maddie had to deal with that. Like, me literally sitting on our couch, and I was weeping. And I remember for almost, like it was a tough, especially, like, in the huge, I would say probably, like, a year into it.
Yeah.
So deconstruction started a little bit before Maddie was in my life. And then once we got married, I felt like I had to give myself permission to actually go down that path. Mm. But now is a lot scarier because I got someone with me mm-hmm. that I'm supposed to be leading.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my God. Like, mm-hmm. what I'm feeling is I know it to be true. And I can't unsee what I've seen. And this door that you open can't be closed. So now I got somebody with me. I'm sharing all this stuff. And again, she didn't grow up with as much garbage spiritually that I did. And I remember she being just very understanding in that. But I was weeping. I was crying. I couldn't sleep for most of the nights. And I'm just like wrestling with all these things. And yeah, it was so freaking tough. But yeah, once you start
but
questioning
you had that
everything,
conversation with her. Like yeah. You didn't just leave it. You didn't just weep, say something, and bounce.
Well, I had my moments.
Yeah.
So, like, that was a huge conversation we had. We had another one, too. But she was just kind of like, she just gave me space and was like, hey, I'm here for you. Like, if you want to pray together, we can pray together. If you don't want to pray, like, we don't have to pray. That's good.
I would say from a person now that is single, it's really interesting, even in LA, being single and this discussion of the one, because not in church world. Well, growing up, I had a lot of people tell me that God had told them that I was the one. And my dad always just gave me a good line to be like, just tell them back. Like, okay, I'll let you know when God tells me that. Like, that's not it. Like, right. You have guys using that excuse, right. Like completely not trying to earn my trust or affection. And they're like, hey, by the way, God told me that you're the one. I'm like, cool, bro. I'll let you know if he lets me know. But in LA, you've got dating apps. We did that in season one. You've got all these options that kind of Brandon touched on before. It's kind of scary because we talk about in church being scared to pick the one out of fear of
getting it wrong.
Getting it wrong. But you also have that now. Everyone has options. No one wants to commit to anything because I have options now. And maybe we never knew what the options we had before because of dating and dating apps and social media and just being so connected to the world. But it's a interesting thing now of like, I feel like I'm open to meeting, to like finding someone again and choosing the one, like the real one this time that – now it's kind of an interesting thing because we're so connected and there's so many options. It's like, oh, crap. I used to just be like, who's in my youth group? Let me scan that room. Now I can scan the world. It's just there wasn't an ending to the sentence, by the way. I'm just like, yeah. It's like, oh, crap. So anyone?
Yeah. good luck. No, I'm kidding.
Good luck. And thanks, guys. We hope you find a seat at the table.
I would say that my sum of what we've talked about for me personally, my opinion, is that there is not the one, but you can make connection with people, be attracted to them spiritually, physically, mentally, all of those things, and you can fall in love with that person and choose them. And after you've chosen them from that moment on, you treat them as they are
the one.
The one.
Yeah.
And in finding that person, do all the things that I just said, like establish that connection and whatever. But somebody gave me the best advice when I was dating Manny in the beginning, because Manny and I moved fairly quickly. We met in
both of you guys
August,
a couple did.
And we were engaged by Christmas Eve, and we were married in June. So we went very quickly, and I had a friend tell me one time, because I was like, should we be going slower than this? Like trying to get like the right biblical timing or the right
the for, full four seasons
for society's norm, yeah. Even yeah. Like, should we be moving at a slower pace? Should we slow down? I remember asking her, should we slow down? And she gave me the best advice. She said, Angela, follow peace.
Yes.
If peace in your spirit says slow down, take it down a notch, then do that. But if peace in your spirit says, yes, this is right, keep going. It's the green light is still green, keep going, then keep doing that. So I can't tell you slow down. Mm. All I can tell you is follow peace in your spirit and your instinct and your gut.
Yeah.
That's a good word.
I think, yeah, the little short part that you were talking about at the beginning, the one – I think it's not about the one, it's making them your one, you know? And that's kind of where that transition is you're making them your one, but there is no the one out there. But then also on your little dating part, it's the kind of the same thing where we kind of from our first real spending time together to getting married was 13 months. And I was young, obviously, and I know I'm from the South, but still in my family, that's like nobody really got married young. I think my mom was maybe 32 or something like that. And so
that's still young.
It's still young, guys. Still very young. Hey. It's still very, very, very young. But you're not a baby. You know what I mean?
Sure. Right.
And so still for me, that wasn't it wasn't normal, I guess, in my family rather. Mm-hmm. And so everybody around me, including my friends, was like, whoa, what are you doing? This is really fast. You should be engaged for at least a year. And, you know, this like there's a magical timeline that you're supposed to follow. And I think just with my dad, it was funny because when Brandon asked my dad, he did the whole little traditional ask my dad to, you know, marry me and all that. And he was just like, well, I think what did he say? Maddie's a smart girl.
I trust her. I was like,
very logical.
Cool. I'm going to take that as a blessing. All right.
He's like, I don't know about you, but she's smart.
Hey, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. I don't know you, but I trust my daughter.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. So I just thought it was funny. But I mean, I felt good the whole way. And so, regardless of what everybody else was saying, I just had to check in with myself. I was like, okay, do I feel good with this? And honestly, we probably could have gotten married way even sooner, like within the first probably 4 or 6 months. So, you know, and it would have been totally fine. You know, it was more so that we waited just for everybody else to catch up just a little bit, you know?
We almost waited a longer time only because Manny, accidentally told me when he was going to propose to me. Remember that, babe?
Wait. Are you serious?
He was on a tour bus.
Yeah.
He was on tour, and I called him, and I was like, how's it going? What are you up to? He's like, nothing. I just woke up early. I was talking to the bus driver while everybody was asleep, and I was like, oh, what are you talking to the bus driver about?
Oh, my God.
I was just telling him, like,
oh my God.
I don't know what the other parts were, but he's like, and then I'm going to propose in February. And then,
he
just goes through the line. I go, oh, so we're getting engaged in February? And he's like,
oh, man. I don't lie, really.
You had to have been so exhausted, though. That's the romantic
coming out. Right. I don't lie at all. I don't hold gifts for a long time. When he actually
bought the ring, he left the receipt on the table.
Buddy.
And I go, what's this? And he's like, oh, let me see. Oh, that's just like, I'm going to crumble it.
Oh, my God, Manny.
I don't lie.
Oh, my God.
No, that's good.
And I don't buy gifts and keep them for long.
And he'll buy you a gift, wrap it up, and he'll hand it. You go, here, it's a shirt. That's what he gives it to. Here, it's a book.
Yeah, my birthday gift. He was like, I'm getting your birthday gift. And then was like, do you want it? Like, it's my birthday in 2 weeks,
bro. Yeah, same with my birthday. It was like, we went out to dinner. He's like, all right, so I got you something I think would look good on you.
Uh-huh.
Like these, so you know, the qualities of fabrics. I was like, okay, I'm going to assume it's clothes.
Yeah.
Cool. But it was awesome. Like, I rock it. But
you got good gifts, Manny.
Yeah. You're amazing, dude.
So the one, huh, guys?
Yeah. There's at the end of the day, you probably may have gotten an answer in some way. And you may have not, because it's not like a really easy... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think my favorite thing from this episode was hearing y'all's stories of, even just personally for me, of the difference between, because all the messages I get are, my husband, my wife doesn't understand me anymore, we don't know each other. And something for me today unlocked of like, it's about the journey, taking them, and that is maybe the most naked you can be in front of your spouse is... And when you guys, Maddie and Brandon, Maddie was telling that story, I watched that between, we were freaking over here getting all emotional in our feels because you see that closeness between you guys and you wonder what that is. And that closeness came from the conversations that you had that you said, I don't know what to do with this. Here are all the ingredients of my deconstruction. I don't know how to put things together again. Do you still want me? And I think it's those conversations of, do you still want me? Can I still be your one? That is the most beautiful thing ever. And I'm excited. It's terrifying, but I'm excited for that. And
I think for me today, that was a huge thing that I've realized of like, oh, it's the openness and vulnerability on the journey. That's why you get marriages breaking up 10 years down the track because we're just different people. We did do have those conversations though along the way.
Yeah. So. That's so good. And it brings up another question that I think we should save for another pod because I feel like it could go for over a lot, another episode, I mean. You just said that in intimacy, that's when you're the most naked or mm-hmm. something. What? How did you say that?
It's really good.
It was something,
rewind. In that vulnerability, that's where you're the most naked.
Yes, that's where you're the most naked. And so as you said that, I can visualize like two naked people, right? But when you're actually intimate and inviting them into your shadow space, you now I just see like the insides of their body, the heart, the organ. Like you're actually on the insides. Like it was like a spiritual x-ray into that. So that brings up the question then, is a sexual affair less hurtful than an emotional affair? Because I was intimate, y'all naked parts bumped. But in this emotional affair, you allowed somebody into your heart space, into your shadow space. Like that, hearing that,
that's a good point,
feels like more heartbreaking to me. But I don't know, because like if I were to find out that Manny had like a sexual affair, I'd be pissed. And then if I found out he had an emotional affair, like I would be pissed and like hurt a little bit. Like because
that
you gave
her
something that was
space. That was for me.
For me?
Yeah.
Like
I think that's the sex pot too. Let's bring that up in chat too.
That is a really good question.
Let's all think on it and talk about it in the sex part too.
Hey, thanks so much for hanging out, Maddie.
Maddie, Mama, we love you.
We're going to have you back and hope you guys enjoyed it. We went longer than we typically do because this is a
full pod.
A good conversation to have. Hey, but we love you guys so much, man. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Please subscribe, DM us questions, any of these things. We love to hear from you guys.
Share it with your friends.
For sure. Please share it with your friends.
Do it.
We hope that you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours.
Cheers.
Cheers, my
cheers.
Cheers, Maddie. Love you.
Cheers. Love you.
Yeah, it's 2 a.m. and it's boring. Girl, I'm thinking about the times you be snoring. I would always make you feel bad cause it's all I really had. Now I'm wishing it was you here in the morning. It's kinda hard getting used to the way she smells cause it ain't you. Damn, I hate that she ain't you. She's staying home, I'ma take off low key, hoping that I see you at our one spot.
It's Saturday night. Gotta lift down my hood. Got you on my mind. I know you're up to look good. I'm doing alright. I learned a lot of myself. Hate that. To have this shit what you want, but do you miss what we had? Stop feeling love. Damn, you're looking so sad. I met you really, 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 really want me. So what about us? So what about us? So what about us? Cause we belong, we belong, we belong.
Damn, why you gotta play me like that? I was trying to act real cool, but I lack any kind of self-control when you pass. Looking like a snack with a booty like that. I was trying to find something that I never lost. Set up for a worker, I already had a boss. Never know what you got till it goes by. Then you cry like a bitch saying why. Baby, I don't know why I left you, but I'm crazy. If you take me back, maybe we can make a baby. Move our life uptown with the rich in our Mercedes.
Yeah, we belong, we belong, we belong. Peace. together.